Joshua 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things, for Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth-Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few." So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" So the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they had become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, 'Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. And it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel." So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Then he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, was taken. So Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. And there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in the tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then, verse 26, they raised up over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Let's pray. Father, we're mindful that in this world there's a whittling down often of godly fear. It doesn't make sense. It's not something that even the world should exercise or fail to exercise in regard to fear of you, but very common, very natural. And to see it happen even here at this time in this place with these people is just stunning. And yet this is us. This is who we are. This is what happens when we choose a plan of our own in light of the plan that you've given us. We always seem to think it's going to work out. So help us to learn from this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The best place to start something the right way, and this goes with morals or sports or anything else, is to learn how to do it at first. Because if you learn how to do it wrong, take golf, I know a lot about that. I was advising someone, a young man the other day, who just starting his golfing career. Now, if you persist in playing golf, I said, you know, learn how to swing the right way at first. Because once you start training your muscles and your muscles start doing whatever it is that you're doing, and most people when they start playing golf, they just pick up a club and they start swinging whatever feels right. That's what they do, and they've played more baseball or softball than golf, and so they end up swinging like a baseball bat, and they end up holding it like a baseball bat, and they end up hitting it like a baseball bat. And you have to unlearn. And one of the hardest things to do for your muscles have better memory than you do as you get older, is your muscles remember. And so many times, you revert back to the old ways. You try to change, you revert back to the old ways. Because your muscles remember. And you get up there and you swing and it's going, oh, why did I do that again? Learn it right the first time. I think one of the reasons we have such a problem in this country right now, it's affecting so many people, whether it's health care, whether it's the spying that's going on, whether it's international affairs, whether what's happening in Russia right now with Putin going into, you know, toward the Ukraine, Crimea, is a character problem. And we've felt for a long time in this country and other countries that character really doesn't matter that much. People are just individuals, do their own thing, and it doesn't really matter, but it matters a lot. Because we've got people in charge now who have low character. And Daniel teaches us that God puts in power those who are the basest of men. And you have all throughout power of governments everywhere in the world, base men. And it affects people. It's why the schools are increasingly more difficult. Because somebody decided a long time ago, we can't discipline children. That would be harmful for them. Think back to when we were in school and they disciplined children. And whether it was more orderly back then, and whether you learned more back then than kids seem to learn today in a chaotic atmosphere. Kids just can't. I was talking to a teacher, one of my old teachers at the memorial service yesterday. She's my English teacher my freshman year. She looked a lot the same. Her hair was white, but she looked a lot the same. And, you know, she said when she started teaching, the parents were supportive of her. But now, the parents are not supportive of teachers. They're supportive of their child. And if the child gets in trouble, the parents side with the child. Whereas before, the parents side with the teacher. And you've got chaos today. Because somebody decided, these poor little kids, you cannot discipline them. You just cannot discipline them. It'll hurt them. What hurts them is not discipline. You see, it's exactly the opposite. And so what we have today and all that's going on is partly because of bad philosophy, just like the Corinthians. And the Corinthians had this idea that was wrong. So they messed everything up with it. And it seems like it would be so easy just to see that you've done it wrong, just especially the Corinthians, who the Bible tells us at the beginning of the chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, that they've come to know the Lord. It ought to be the easiest conversation with any Christian to say, here's what the Bible says, and so this is what we have to do. But in so many places, that would bring an argument from a Christian or professing. And so the Lord gave instructions to Joshua and to the people of Israel. And look back at chapter 6 of Joshua, verse 17. Now the city shall be doomed, and we're talking about Jericho. The city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in her house, the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, keep yourself from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Now, let's think of the times in which this was said. Israel had come through, one generation had passed in the wilderness, and now this next generation from 20 and under had finally come to this point, 40 years after the curse that they got from spying out the land and bringing a bad report. And now the Lord has brought them into the promised land that they should have gone into 40 years before, except for their unbelief. And so after going through the wilderness and the miracles that God showed there and the time at Mount Sinai where they were shown the glory of God and His power and given the law, various other times where water came from the rock, where quail came along that could knock down and eat, manna fell, all of those things happened. But even recent events, they had just crossed recently a river, the Jordan River, just like they had crossed the Red Sea. And so this new generation that did not get destroyed came through the river just like the ones that come out of Egypt through the Red Sea. And the water had backed up and they went through on dry ground and it was a miracle. And so then they came to Jericho and they marched around it, remember? 6 days, one time, seventh day, seven times. And they shouted and the walls came tumbling down. They ought to make a gospel song about that, shouldn't they? The trumpet sounded, the walls fell, and they went in. And verse 26, Joshua charged them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city, Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall go. He shall set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. This is a time of great victory, and what army ever marches around a city and then shouts and the walls come down? It doesn't happen. Happened here. And they were told, and you would think it would be the most natural thing in the world, that the people of God would fear the Lord. And so, when the command was given in verse 18 of chapter 6, keep yourself from anything that's accursed. And there was a clear understanding of what that was. That nobody would violate that. Not the God who parted the river, who stopped up the river so they could walk through on dry ground. Not the God who took down the walls of Jericho with a shout. Not to mention all those other things that he did that we've heard about and lived through. And the plagues in Egypt. Verse 1 of chapter 7. As close to chapter 6 as you can possibly come. Without being in it. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things, so the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. What? If you were at a football game, a big stadium, and an announcement comes up, and the announcement is, no one drop your trash on the ground, but carry it out and put it in a trash can. That's the law. Let's say that's the law. What is your expectation at that time? The law's been posted. Everybody understands it. They're not going to listen to it. In fact, some studies have shown that when you make a law like that, a person who might not otherwise have thrown it on the floor or ground is going to now. It's just human nature. And so in spite of the awe of God, in spite of the victory of Jericho, in spite of going across the Jordan River on dry ground, all of that, the first thing that happens on the first battle in the new land after they've spent 40 years in the wilderness because of disobedience, the very first thing that takes place, a law is given, and Achan violates it. And so that's the first problem in chapter 7. That's not the only one. Because along with that is this other problem. Now Joshua didn't know about this at the time. Achan had sinned and the Lord's anger burned against the children of Israel. That's what we're told. That was from the Lord's side. And Joshua didn't know anything about it at this point. So Joshua is planning on the next battle. Because, you know, Jericho's the first one. You figure they'll get the first one right. And then it's going to be through the land. They'll take the cities as God has given them the cities. And they'll take over the country of Canaan. And it'll be theirs. But you know, they're already messed up on the first one. Achan is already messed up. Joshua goes about doing what you do. You spy out the land, spy out the country, go see what's next. And so the spies go out, and the spies again, and it's hard to find good spies. I guess today you got a lot more of them. But, you know, before you had 12 go out and 10 came back with a bad report. And now you've got these spies, and they come back, and this is their advice. Verse 3. Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. Yeah. So in other words, here's what they were thinking. We can do this with fewer people, because really, the strength is ours. Jericho didn't humble them at all. What great military feats did they do in Jericho? They marched around the city 6 days, one time. Seventh day, 7 times. blew the trumpets, shouted, walls fell down, they just went in and mopped up. No great strategy. The Lord did that. That might have taught some people with more perception that the battle was the Lord's. But no, these spies, we wouldn't need all these people. Because, you know, we are strong with 2,000 or 3,000. 2,000 or 3,000, that'll do. Now, to Joshua's credit, to a degree, he at least chose the higher figure of 3,000. So it says in verse 4, 3,000 went up and they fled before the men of Ai. One of the problems that they had was that they were confident in themselves. Self-confidence. And 36 men were struck down, chased, shamed, humiliated. Here they came in with their heads held high and they got kicked out. And some died. And Joshua is absolutely stunned. Tore his clothes. Fell to the earth. On his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He just completely laid out with grief. This makes no sense at all. Both he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads, and then Joshua is really, you can tell, upset with the Lord. Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? To destroy us? This sounds like Israel in the wilderness. He's complaining like they used to. Did you bring us out in this wilderness to destroy us from Egypt? It's not one of his better days. Oh, that we had been content and dwell on the other side of the Jordan. That's old time talk they used to make in the wilderness with all those people that had no faith enough to go up in the promised land in the first place. I wish we'd have been happier back in Egypt. Except in this case, he said, I wish we'd have been able to live over on the other side of the Jordan, not go through, because this pain is too much. We got defeated. It's too much. I can't take it. So he says, I don't get it. Verse 8, oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? Now remember, Joshua was told at the beginning of this book to be strong and of good courage. And I think his tendency was to be not that way. Now, he was a mighty warrior. I mean, that's certainly true. And he grew in his faith and he grew in his standing. But this is a test for him because he's already really made a bad mistake here, even without knowing about Achan. Is he's put trust in the arm of flesh. And he's sent a small group. Because, you know, we don't need to send a big group over there. If you look in chapter 8, verse 1, when this was fixed, the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. Get them all. If you're living in self-confidence, you don't get, just send a dozen over there. You know, we're riding high right now. We saw the walls fall down. We saw all that happen. We've had a great victory. We don't need many people. We're riding high. And they began to depend upon themselves. So Joshua was having a little bit of a pity party here. The Canaanites are going to hear about it. They're going to surround us. They're going to wipe us out. That's in the face of all the promises of God, by the way. And the Lord said to Joshua exactly what Joshua needed to hear. And exactly probably the opposite of what Joshua wanted to hear. Because Joshua, like the Corinthians, asked questions probably thinking that they were excellent questions. The Lord says in verse 10, get up, why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned. Now he's talking about Achan. But I think there was also that undercurrent of confidence in man. Israel always had that problem. They'd run to another nation to get help and not to the Lord. And so this is what they were doing. Israel has sinned. They have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have both stolen and deceived, and they have also put it among their own stuff. Now think about Achan. How much fear of God does he have? His mind is, I'll just take these things. I mean, I know the law. I know what was said. But you know, you get there and you see it and it's available. You got some silver and gold there and some garments or whatever. And I'll just take that and hide it. And nobody will know. That's the nature of people who don't fear God. That's our nation's nature right now. Whether it's abortion or, you know, all the various sins we want to legalize. There's no fear of God. The thought is it never will make any difference. It's just do what you want to do. So the plan that Achan had seemed good to him, kind of like the Corinthians. The Corinthians thought, well, you know, this is a good plan because we've got this idea in our heads. It makes sense to us, so we'll just do that. Achan says, well, you know, it's a little bit, he probably justifies a little bit of something. It's not a big thing. I'll take a little bit of this, I'll hide it over there, and I'll have something. And no problem. It won't matter. It won't make a difference. And so the Lord informs Joshua that there's a problem. And that's why, verse 12, they could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Now they went into this thing la-di-da. We've got a victory. The victories are guaranteed. We have a great army. The army guarantees the victory. Nothing we do is going to stop that. Does that sound like any church you've heard about in the New Testament lately? They just don't think it matters. They think there's a division between one thing and the other, so that no matter what they do, God's going to bless. And the Lord says, don't touch the accursed things or the things that are devoted to him, like the silver and gold. Don't touch those things, and they say, it doesn't matter. Whatever he says, it doesn't matter. We can touch those things, and everything will be fine. God is going to bring us victory. This was the attitude. They thought it was going to work out no matter what they did. It was completely separate. I can steal whatever I want to, take booty every now and then from whatever I want to do, touch this or touch that. God's not going to change anything. He's going to be with us every time. We send 2,000, he's going to be with us. We send 3,000, he's going to be with us. We send 10, he's going to be with us. It just doesn't matter. Whatever we do, we can just do whatever we want to do. And this is the first battle, the very first battle. And they messed up. And so they have this assembly the next morning, verse 14. All the tribes are brought. One tribe is taken, Judah. And then families are chosen from that. Verse 17 says it was the family of the Zarahites. And then a man, Zabdi, was taken. And then his household, man by man. You know, he's just whittling them down. Achan was taken. And so Joshua approaches Achan in verse 19 and says, my son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me. You know, another weird thing about this for Achan is, I mean, once he's done this, and it starts, you start adding up the, you start gathering all the tribes together, and this announcement comes out that someone has taken something. Do you think he knew who did it? And so he's watching, and the tribes are taken. Judah's taken. Well, that was odd. And then, family is taken, and then the sons are taken, and then he is chosen. Wow. And not until then does he say, I've sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. And he confesses to taking some garment and some silver and gold and hid them. Now, he clearly knew it was wrong because he hid them. Hid them in the tent. Put them under the, whatever, and hid them, and that was it. There was no doubt in his mind he was doing the wrong thing. He didn't want it to be seen. He was holding on to it. In direct contradiction to the Lord's command not to do it. Don't touch it. Don't bother it. And so he brought down the whole nation. Now, of course, that doesn't always happen. I mean, there's the church doesn't stand or fall necessarily with one person that sins. There might be a sinner, and that be it. But if you get in a situation like this where God makes a nation and says the nation has got to walk with me, or they're not going to have victory in this land. It's a good example to us of how important it is for every person to be right with God. Because it's not isolated in this case. It is affecting the whole. And so here we have Achan coming forward. Yep, he did it. So they went and found it, brought it back, and laid it before the Lord, verse 23 tells us. And then Joshua, verse 24, and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, silver and the garment, wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. They raised a heap of stones there, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Now, right here at the beginning, the Lord puts his fear upon them again. But if you think about it, this is very merciful of the Lord. Because has he not put his fear upon them so many times? They just came out in the last few days that teens less than 18 years, underage teens, were sending pictures to a Twitter account to be put up online. Twitter, of course, anybody can see the pictures there. And the pictures were of naked teens and drunk teens drinking, partying, doing things, wicked things. And not only were they doing them, but they were proud enough of them to send pictures to the account so they could be posted online. And you think that at any time these kids had ever been said, this is not right? Of course. But if there is no fear of God, you come into something and you just decide on the spot that this is what you're going to do. And the farther down the road you go from the Lord, the easier that choice is. And unfortunately today, our kids have not in this country been educated in the ways of God. They've not been taught morality many times, even at home. They've been told a few things about right and wrong, but nothing about the Lord, nothing about the law of God. And that was, from generation to generation, it gets worse and worse. People are farther and farther away, more liberated, meaning they're farther from God. And you tell these kids, don't text and drive, and they're going to listen to that? when they post naked pictures of themselves drunk on Twitter? And they're going to listen to that? And you tell them, you know, don't drink and drive. Really? Okay, we won't do that. You see, the problem goes to the core, where we've allowed our natural inclinations to govern our lives. And there's no more what God says. It's what I think. That's what the Corinthians did with this dualistic philosophy. And it affected marriage and affected the families. This is what children of Israel did here by choosing, in Achan's case, to just ignore God. And that's what's happening today. You got so much corruption, so much wickedness, because you've got so little godly character. And revival and restoration comes in our land when character returns. You won't be able to do a thing or pass a law. You know, Congress is funny. They're always passing a law about something that there already is a law for. They just make another law the same thing. Because in their minds, if they make a law, they look good. And they're making some sort of an impact with the law. The people who disobeyed the last law are going to disobey this law. Do you think a kid's going to stop and say, oh no, they made a law against texting. Well, that's it for me. I'm stopping now. And I wonder if they're naive enough to think that that's what happens. There's no fear of God. When I was with Barry a few weeks ago, he said he met with one of the congressmen. And he said, you know Barry, he said, what do y'all do up there? You're basically worthless. And this was, and the guy said, that's kind of harsh. And he said, well, it's true. I mean, they talk and do this, I mean, and nothing gets accomplished. And I think there's a disconnect. And what our land needs is the fear of the Lord. And in lacking of that, like the Corinthians, we choose to do things that are destructive. Let's all stand. Mike, would you dismiss us?